Welcome back to another episode of In the Money, where we help to break down trading ideas and share actionable trades with you, the trader at home. My name is Chase Cotnor, brokerage content editor here at Fidelity Investments. Joining me today, as always, is Tony Zhang, the chief strategist and co-founder at Options Play. Tony spent the better part of 16 years helping to coach and educate clients on a variety of trading topics, options, technical analysis, and of course, risk management. Tony, as always, it's great to have you back on today's show. I think like our audience, I'm always interested of, what's going on in the marketplace and how does someone like yourself break this down and make it actionable for an options trader at home. So what I would love to do for this conversation is let's start macro. What are some of the big news events that maybe have kicked off since the last time you and I spoke? And then let's get a little bit more micro from there and get tactical and how can we maybe approach this from an options trader's perspective? So I'd love to hear your thoughts, Tony, and it's great to have you back on the show today.
Thank you so much, Chase. Thank you for having me. It's been quite a bit of a roller coaster week this week with regards to the equity markets because we kicked off this week with on a high, and the markets were very optimistic heading into this week on the back of last week's inflation print that came in softer than expected, which locked in a rate cut here for October. The markets were pricing in three more rate cuts after this October cut by the July of next year at the beginning of this week. And then we also had President Trump on the back of his Asia tour, seemingly making nice with Japan, with China, with Thailand, Vietnam, all of these major countries announcing fairly significant trade deals with all of these Asian countries that have, with China obviously being the most important one. So, equity markets heading into this week were incredibly optimistic. Now, like I said, the rate cut announcement yesterday with the FOMC meeting was effectively a lock for a rate cut, and it was meant to largely be a bit of a non-event. But we ended up seeing, Chairman Powell actually take a much more hawkish tone here with his announcement with regards to expectations for further rate cuts. At this stage, he suggested that December is far from a foregone conclusion in terms of a rate cut, which the markets were pricing in a near certainty. And we've seen a significant repricing of expectations for rate cuts into the middle of next year. Right now, the markets are only expecting two more rate cuts after the one that we just got yesterday. So, that poured a little bit of cold water on the market's optimism here today. If you kind of look underneath the surface here, you have the S&P 500 that has been on a very significant tear here, but the gains that we have recently seen, especially over the last few weeks, have largely been concentrated in large cap tech growth names. And I think it's really important to also note that if you look at the S&P 500, if you look at the price action, it has been diverging from momentum for quite a few months now. And that shows us that there's a fair amount of exhaustion here from buyers as the markets continue to grind its way higher here. And more importantly, small caps have largely lagged behind this move that we've seen here from the equity markets over the last few weeks. And if you dig a little deeper underneath, the market breadth here has been in quite poor here. More than 10% of S&P 500 stocks over the last week have made a new 52-week low. That's not typically what we see when markets are making record highs. We saw less stocks make new 52-week highs than make new 52-week lows. And what that's showing is that broad participation here is just not there in these markets, that it's really just a few tech growth names that are dragging the markets higher, while the rest of the market is actually struggling quite a bit here. And this is really also indicating that just the risk is continuing to rise if the tech momentum starts to fade here. And you could see yesterday from the numbers from Meta, even though they had strong earnings numbers, based on the expectations that they're going to increase capital expenditure for AI, investors are getting really unwary, a little bit concerned about the speed at which these major tech firms are continuing to spend on building out AI infrastructure, even though I think that momentum, at least in the short run, run still has room to run, investors are clearly starting to show some concerns about risks. And I think it's really important for investors to not get swept up in the headlines and the optimism that we continue to see, because sometimes it's easy to forget why we are in such a hurry to cut rates in this market environment. And that's because of the weakening labor market. We've seen a significant decline here in the labor market over the last 6 months. The government shutdown and delaying of this economic data is not helping, because we're effectively not getting the data that we really need to better understand the speed at which the labor market is slowing down. And just this week, we saw multiple announcements from Amazon, from UPS, from Target, announcing tens of thousands of job cuts. You know, many of these tech firms citing AI as part, as one of the reasons as to why they feel that they can make these job cuts. So we're talking about tens of thousands of jobs being lost in addition to the government shutdown. You know, that is going to have ramifications here in consumer spending somewhere down the line in the next few months. And with the lack of data, it's sometimes it's hard to really get a sense for the magnitude of that. And I think for investors, as we reach these new all-time highs, as markets are trading at these fairly rich valuations, the S&P is around 23, close to 23 times forward earnings, we have to be aware of these risks. And I think even though the momentum here is clearly still to the upside, tech and semiconductors are driving the markets higher here, the defensive sectors are much more flatter. And I think that means that we need to be a lot more cautious here with markets as we reach these new all-time highs.
Yeah, and Tony, when I think about the macroeconomic breakdown, which I think that's a great thing to call out for our traders, and we saw the Federal Reserve, they did cut interest rates, which was expected. I want to know your opinion. Do you see this creating potential future volatility for our options traders? Or is it almost the inverse, where because we got what was expected, now maybe there isn't as much volatility in the short term? Like, how do we maybe as option traders factor in some of that news when it comes to not just the interest rate reduction recently, but some of this other macro news that is kind of coming in line with expectations? Does that create volatility if they're net slightly negative, or does that almost dampen it because it's kind of what people expect? Like, how do you square that circle for us?
Yeah, I mean, Chairman Powell's yesterday's comments with regards to his comments that the December rate cut was far from certainty was one of the things that drastically changed volatility, both for equities and probably more importantly in treasuries. We see short dated treasury volatility spiked on the back of that comment alone. But we have seen a lot of that volatility fade even into today's session. So I think that, you know, short term, there was some volatility. Long term, I think the biggest concern right now is just whether or not we are going to get the trajectory of further rate cuts here at the pace at which the market are expecting. Because if the Fed sort of holds rates steady where they are right now, you know, the equity markets need to rethink expectations for valuations and expectations for the future of some of these companies that are expecting rates to be lower and potentially refinancing some of their bonds. You know, that's currently one of the things that's working through the system here, is really whether or not credit quality will remain stable. We obviously had a couple of bankruptcies recently in the car manufacturing or the car parts space. The question is whether or not we're going to see more of that come out of the woodwork. And if rates kind of are not declining at the pace where markets are expecting, we could potentially see some more stress in the credit markets. And I think that is what likely can cause some volatility in the future.
Got it. Okay. That makes perfect sense. Now, I want to just pivot for a moment, Tony. We talked about the macro. We talked about interest rates, some of the AI headlines that we're seeing when it comes to employment. Let's get a little bit more tactical for options traders. And let's hop into this week's first options trade idea, Tony. Like, what do you have on your radar? And kind of break it down for us.
Yeah, in this type of market environment, I think quality is definitely where I want to be. But I also want to continue to be aware of the fact that, you know, markets are moving higher. Momentum still remains to the upside here. So the name that really comes to mind here is NVIDIA, because they have really evolved themselves here in the last, call it, couple of years from chip maker into just a platform leader with anything related to AI. Their Blackwell chips, which recently just came onto the market, is really kind of what's driving growth here right now. And the adoption is really accelerating across the hyperscalers. And we're actually seeing, even with the tech earnings this week, most of these major companies who have already committed tens of billions of dollars a year to spending on AI infrastructure have only committed to spending more next year. And that's really kind of what's driving the growth here for NVIDIA. And then you actually have new business lines that's opening now here with their Spectrum-X networking. This is moving them beyond GPUs into that kind of the data center infrastructure. So you have a lot of positives that are continuing to drive growth here for NVIDIA. And just the fundamentals look incredibly compelling in my opinion. So if you look at a chart here for NVIDIA, it spent the last 3 months consolidating just below 200. And just in the last week, it broke out here above that $200 level. And that breakout signals potentially another leg higher. And what's really interesting is that not only has it broken out higher, it's on an absolute basis, it's outperforming both the sector and the S&P 500 on a relative term basis, which is not something you see very common. So a breakout like this on an absolute basis that's followed up with a relative outperformance typically has a higher probability of continuing higher. So our upside target here remains the 235 level, and that's rooted in the fundamentals here because NVIDIA trades at only 31 times forward earnings, which is certainly a premium relative to the industry, which is averaging somewhere around 26 times forward earnings. But when you look at growth expectations, NVIDIA is expecting to grow both revenue and EPS north of 35% year over year. That's more than triple what the peers are growing at. And then more importantly, net profit margins are north of 50%. That is completely unmatched in this industry. So the fact that it only trades at a small premium relative to the semiconductor industry when growth and profitability are head and shoulders above its peers is really what leads me to believe that the valuation remains incredibly compelling at 31 times forward earnings. If you just look at the business here, they've continued to show record growth here. We're looking at 56% year-over-year revenue growth here. The Blackwell chips are just starting to come to the market. We're seeing 17% quarter-over-quarter growth here. That's going to be one of the primary drivers of growth here for the next year. And like I said, they've continued to expand their ecosystem away from just GPUs into kind of the overall infrastructure that's required for these AI-related data centers, with Meta and Oracle being clients of their new networking. And just the demand overall for the build-out here just continues to grow. And we are continuing to see tech firms commit more and more capital expenditure to building out. And NVIDIA is the direct recipient of that. So this is really where I think, despite the fact that markets are at all-time highs, NVIDIA is at all-time highs, this is one of the few stocks that remain incredibly compelling to chase that momentum and continue moving higher, despite some of the macro risks that I highlighted here in the first part. So the way I think the best way to play this is to utilize an option strategy that gives you upside exposure, but with limited downside risk to the downside. So I'm looking at going out to the December monthly expiration, and I'm looking at buying the 200 by 235 call spread. What that means is I'm buying the $200 call option and then selling the 235 calls against that. Earlier today, you can spend around just a little over $12 per share for that debit spread. That translates to a total risk of $1,235 per contract if NVIDIA is below $200 by that December expiration, and it has a maximum gain potential of a little over $2,200 if NVIDIA manages to get above that 235 upside target that I have here for the stock by that December expiration. This way, you have a risk-defined way to take upside exposure in this particular trade.
Yeah, Tony, really interesting trade setup here. A few things that come to mind when I look at this, which is, well, first of all, the reward to risk ratio is about 2 to 1, which I know many option traders, when they're going Long in a position tends to be the goal for them. Of course, everyone has their own trading system. But just as interesting, I want to point out and maybe ask you a question on is why did we use a spread or a width that was about, 35 points or $35 per share? And what do I mean by that, right? So your strike is, like we talked about, the $200, but then in between or up to the next one is 235. So that distance in between those two strikes, we commonly refer to as the width or how wide that spread might be. Why did you choose 35? And the reason I ask is oftentimes in our options 101 classes that we teach, that others teach in the industry, the examples that we typically give are going to be like a 5-point spread, a 10-point spread. Is there anything wrong with going larger than that? And maybe talking about the advantages and disadvantages or trade-offs between maybe a standard kind of width versus something like this where it's about 35 points.
That's a really great question. Now, in terms of the size of the width, there's really two things that we're looking at. We're looking at one, how much time is there between now and the expiration date of the option? Generally speaking, the more time that you have, the wider the width that you can generally choose, because the width is really dependent on how far do you think the stock can go between now and the expiration date. And there's two things that factor into that. Number one is how much time is there between now and the expiration date? And the second thing is how volatile is the stock? The more volatile the stock is, the higher that stock can potentially move between now and that December expiration. So in this particular case, we are looking at an expiration that is closer to 2 months out. So we have plenty of time on this particular trade. And that naturally means that we'll trade a wider spread to account for the fact that there's more time between now and expiration. And then you add on top of that, that NVIDIA is just generally speaking a pretty volatile stock. It can move a significant amount in a short period of time. So in that particular case, that's why I'm using a wider spread. Spread because I want to capture the potential upside between now and December expiration. And the expected move between now and December is roughly around $35. And that's why I'm choosing that $35 width. So you want to adjust the width of your strategy to those two factors, the time that's left between now and expiration and how volatile the stock is. The more volatile something is, the wider the width you might want to trade, the less volatile the narrower the width that you generally want to trade.
Yeah, thanks, Tony, for clarifying that. I know a lot of traders, when they first start out, think, hey, I've got to be a 5-point spread or maybe a 10-point spread. But it's good just to demonstrate to traders who are maybe newer to this call spread or really any multi-leg strategy that you have flexibility as long as it makes sense within your trading strategy. Okay, so moving forward, I'm taking a look at the calendar. There's a lot of earnings that have just recently come out and are still continuing to come out. What I want to do, Tony, is pivot a little bit to an earnings spotlight here. What's a trade that maybe option traders are focusing in on when it comes to upcoming quarterly earnings reports?
Yeah, great question. One stock that I have on my radar here is Spotify. They're reporting next week on November 4th. And this is a stock that has underperformed both the sector and its market basically since July. So as the markets have been making new all-time highs, this stock is continuing to make lower highs and lower lows. And more importantly, it's trading at 50 times forward earnings with net profit margins that are under 5%. So you're talking about a stock that's incredibly expensive, that's not actually particularly profitable, and has underperformed the markets. Those are all the things that I generally look for heading into an earnings announcement if I have a bearish view, because what this is signaling is that there's potential distribution of the stock from institutions over the last few months. And then you add on top of the valuation risk of the stock trading at 50 times forward earnings. That's a recipe potentially for a stock to miss potentially on earnings and for the stock to move significantly lower on earnings. So with these types of earnings trades, what I'm looking for are stocks that I think have the highest probability of making a big move on that catalyst, and Spotify satisfies all of those requirements for a potential bearish move heading into earnings next week.
Got it. And yeah, when it comes to earnings for options traders, I think the big thing there is going to be volatility. If it's bullish, if it's bearish. Now, obviously, to your point, Tony, you're maybe looking for a more bearish outcome. But I think the name of the game for a lot of option traders around earnings, almost regardless of the outcome of direction, is going to be that volatility. Now, shifting gears a little bit, when we talk about volatility, we've talked about the macroeconomic picture. We've talked about some individual companies in the future. Now let's look to the past, Tony. Let's do a quick look back at some of the previous trades that we've got, in this case, ELV. break it down and talk to me a little bit more about how this trade play out. What are we doing moving forward with this?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, I laid out a bullish thesis here for Elevance as the healthcare industry was starting to heat up, and we're starting to see some of the insurance companies show a lot of bit of strength here. But since we've entered this trade, when we bought the December 360 420 call spread, when the stock was just above a little over 360 at the time, we bought that call spread for about $20.50. Unfortunately, the stock has pulled back now to around the 330 level here, and that debit spread that we paid roughly $20 for is trading just a little over $5 now, and that crosses our threshold for a stop loss. In this particular case, it makes sense to simply cut losses on this particular trade, even though there's still plenty of time left to go. The timing on this clearly is not working out, certainly not in the time frame that I'm expecting to. So I think this is an opportunity for us to cut losses, save what is left in this particular trade, and apply it to the next trade rather than holding on to this trade, hoping that it will come back by that December expiration.
Yeah, Tony, when I was first getting into options trading, I had a mentor tell me hope isn't a strategy, right? So we need to manage risk accordingly, take control of our controllables, and at the end of the day, use some kind of disciplined trading system, as best as we can, given the information that we have at the time. So makes perfect sense to me. Looking at the time, that brings us to a close, Tony. I want to thank you for your insights and your knowledge and your expertise to us, the viewers at home, and everyone here at Fidelity Investments, and to those viewers. Thank you for tuning in today. We definitely appreciate your time in your business. A couple of housekeeping items I always want to try to remember. Please don't forget to tune in to tomorrow's follow-up session with our trading strategy desk. That's going to be tomorrow, Friday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can sign up to that session by going to fidelity.com/in-the-money-follow-up. And if you're looking to further get further insights, or if you missed today's live show, which we get it, life is busy. Be sure to sign up for the Active Investor Weekly newsletter, and you can get highlights from the trades and any other news that is related to trading. You can go there by visiting fidelity.com/Active Investor Weekly. But I'm already looking forward to next week's episode of In the Money. But until then, I wish everyone the best. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or, if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options, such as spreads, straddles, and collars, as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you're most comfortable with. As with all of your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Indexes are unmanaged. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of options play, and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only, and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Copyright 2024 FMR LLC. All rights reserved. 1109225.1.0. Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.